You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Haefeli and guest Megan Angley on the show. We're going to be breaking down the Avs roster as we now have an official, I suppose, opening night roster. We'll talk about the defense a little bit on the show. We'll get into what that might actually look like. But I'm curious, Megan, your thoughts. Sampo Ranta making the team. What do you got for me?
I'm really high on Sampo Ranta. I love a good NCAA to NHL pipeline, and I'm excited to see what comes next. I think he's exactly the type of player that Bednar wants. He plays with a little edge. It reminds me of Logan O'Connor, and I think he belongs there for now.
I like it. I like thinking he belongs.
Are you one of those NCAA biased people that thinks everybody here we should go to college
here
hockey?
Here we go.
No.
Okay. I get it.
Shut that down real quick on you.
Yeah, I mean.
Let me ask you something. Why do you want to play college hockey? Isn't it obvious?
Yeah, because I wanted to win a championship.
What? How close did you get to college hockey, AJ?
Oh, dude, no. When
not
you grow
close.
Up in, when you grow up in Texas, no.
Okay. All right. I didn't think so.
I didn't even get all that close to college.
Well, me either.
Let alone an athletic achievement while in college. Fair enough. I had to quit playing hockey when I was 17, man, because my brain got scrambled.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, that's why I don't have any balance when I close my eyes. The world just starts, I feel the earth rotation.
Your brain's getting scrambled to explain a lot of things.
All right. Thanks. It's like that.
But for real.
Oh, but for real.
The Avs roster, look, it's the forward core is set. We'll put it that way.
They decided on 12 forwards.
Yes.
We talked about their tendency to do this kind of stuff at the start of the season. How they may not want to because the Eagles are on the road next week. So if there's a call-up, if somebody gets hurt and they need help, that guy's not in Loveland.
You got to travel.
Yeah.
That's going to be,
it's a choice.
Yeah. They made their decision there. They have some spares on defense. Again, we'll get into that a little bit later. But I do want to start with the forward core. I'm going to exclude...
you don't want to start with the goalies, which are done?
Yeah, the goalies are very obvious. I'm going to exclude the three-headed monster from this question that I'm about to ask both of you. Beyond the top line, who is the key player in the Avs forward core this year? We'll go with Megan first.
I am going to lock in Burakovsky.
I like the answer. Why?
I think he's due for a little bit more leadership in how he plays, and I think he's really solidified his role on the second line, and I'm excited to see what's to come from him.
Okay. AJ?
Contract years.
Nah, well.
It's easy to pick a contract year. A guy that's playing for the big cash. Like, it seems like a cop-out, but I mean, come on.
So
Berkey's playing for the money right now.
Kadri's in a contract year, too.
Yeah, but when you're 31, it's a little different because he's coming off of a long-term deal.
He's been underpaid for that whole deal.
Sure,
though.
But he's also had the security of a long-term contract for a large portion of his career, whereas Burakovsky has been living on two-year deals. So this is a dude who is playing for being the belle of the ball next summer. And going into free agency, potentially as a 30-goal guy, I mean, that he could make it hard for Colorado to keep him if he plays up to his potential on the second line.
He could. I don't think there's any denying that. I am curious how, what is Burakovsky's role on the second line, right? Because they have Nazem Kadri there. Those two are going to be a pairing on the line, and you have a third spot that, yes, right now it's Valanciunas, but we're expecting it to be in flux. So how important is it for Burakovsky, as you brought up, to be a leader on that line?
I have him filling that position better than Kadri could. I have a gut feeling about work ethic, and I see Burakovsky checking all the boxes with off-ice workouts in a way that I'm not sure Kadri can fulfill. And there's always the unknowns that surround Kadri's play and how available he'll be for future games if he's pushing the envelope.
The unpredictability of...
the Department of Player Safety.
Kadri's rage.
It's not consistent. I want to root for Kadri as well, but I just see Burakovsky showing up in a more sustainable way that I think is going to have him emerging as a leader on that line.
Okay. Well, if he does, and then he does justify the Avs bringing him back, he becomes part of the core.
Definitely.
Like, this is his opportunity to prove that all this money getting spent bringing guys back every offseason, and that these are indispensable characters to them, that they have to pony up to keep these guys. This is his opportunity to prove he's one of those guys.
Well, and regardless of the way the season goes for the Avs, Andrei Burakovsky is one of what is now even fewer players, based on the off-season moves that the Avs made, that has been there and done that. He has won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. And he actually played.
Yes.
It wasn't like Grubauer
backing
like,
it up. Yeah, indeed.
I played the first two games we lost. I got pulled and I didn't see the ice again until I was skating around with the Stanley Cup. He actually played on that team.
Nice way to get back on the ice, though.
He actually pretty good. Burakovsky actually like contributed to that playoff run, though.
Right. He was, he was playing in their bottom six, but certainly still a factor. Yeah. And maybe that's another thing. It's the Avs need Berkey to show up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And obviously the Avs need everyone to show up in the playoffs, but Berkey
it helps.
Has one season of playing lights out.
Yeah.
And another season of disappointment in the playoffs. And at least as far as Colorado is concerned, his playoff performance, I think, is going to define who he is here more than anything he does in the regular season, barring insanity.
Sure.
Of a regular season performance. So that is, I guess that's where, look, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because we're expecting this roster will not look the same come day one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But who has room to improve? Who is going to put themselves in an opportunity to succeed going into the playoffs by the end of this season?
I mean, the easy answer is the rookies.
Sure.
You know, Megan brings up Burakovsky having an increased leadership role. When you're opening night roster and you're a Stanley Cup contender and you have three rookies, you need some guys to help them figure it all out. You need some babysitters. And true. One of the things that we think is likely to happen is that one of these kids ends up on a line, on the second line at some point, next to Kadri and next to Berkey. So if Berkey's going to have the kind of year that we all think that he has, and if he's going to be the X factor, that's going to be a big part of it, is that he has to help the kids find their way.
All right,
so that's a cop out of an answer, but
well,
being which guys improve and put themselves in a position to get better and help the team in the postseason, rookies.
Let's jump off of this. We've talked about Rantz a little bit. Alex Newhook, Bowen Byram. Who's more important?
Gun to head, Bowen Byram.
Okay.
That feels right to me. I still feel like Alex Newhook is a little green. I'm very excited about him, but I see Bowen Byram fitting in with the big kids right now?
It's incredible, and we've talked about this a little bit before, but the areas in which Byram has been successful in the NHL are ones that rookies don't succeed at. Yes,
yeah.
The Avs need more offense out of him this year, hands down.
Totally.
But to get elite...
Funny feelings as they probably get more than the 8-point pace he was on
last year. Yeah, I don't think that's that funny of a feeling. But
did not need a tarot card for that one.
Yeah, exactly. But it's one of those things where the way Bowen Byram played last year, despite him not getting back in the lineup, you look at his numbers and you go, these are the numbers that coaches love. This is the type of dude that you put on the ice and you don't worry about. With Newhook, look, I love Alex Newhook. Might be, you know, leading the fan club pretty soon here of pumping Alex Newhook's tires. But he very much falls into those same traps that rookies fall into of how much consistency are you going to get out of this guy? What do you expect every single night? Yes, he has some flair, some flash, but can he shore up the shortcomings in his game? And I think that's the big question is, how willing will the Avs be to give Alex Newhook opportunity this year? That's what I want to know.
My fear, too, with Newhook is that it's just a matter of time for him to grow a little bit stronger. I see him being out-muscled, and that takes opportunity and time to develop, but I just don't know how much opportunity the Avs can give him when they have so many other forwards that they could be playing.
Well, and where you see physical development, that's the thing that Ranta's done.
Dude's a monster.
His trajectory is insane.
Ranta's big, and he's, you know, and he's also older, so he's had more time to actually grow up.
Yes.
And how that works.
Yeah, and so, you know, when you talk about Newhook being, you know, he's got to figure out either how to be effective while being pushed around,
yeah,
or he's got to stop being pushed around. Like, those are his options, right? Like, that's... And with Ranta, he doesn't have to worry about the being pushed around part, because when people hit him,
they bounce off him like
he rubber. Just, he just looks at him like, God, what hit me? What just ran into me? And then goes about his business. His problems are wholly different.
Definitely disciplinary.
It's interesting
after
because
that last preseason game.
I lost my mind. That was bananas. I was looking around the arena. This has got to be a prank, right?
The fourth one, the press box, yeah, was like, are you serious with this?
We're in on the same joke, right?
How are you going to commit a fourth penalty in the game and then go into the box and be like,
giggle?
This is a joke.
It, yeah.
I'm shocked that they kept the kid after a 4-penalty performance.
Absolutely.
Especially in favor of Mikhail Maltsev.
I loved Maltsev.
It's funny because we talk opening night, but I don't think he'll be gone long. I think we'll see him soon.
I agree.
The Avs can't spend very long with 12 forwards. I mean, let's be real. As soon as they head out on a road trip, you know Maltsev's coming up. But it's... I do think it says something that the opportunity was explicitly given to Sampo Ranta.
I think they were just looking for an excuse for both of them. And they said, look, we can figure this out in the regular season in a way they couldn't afford to in the postseason last year. And I think they just like what Ranta does physically so much that they're willing to just live and die with it, where... regular season games, that's what they're going to use them for this year, is they're going to try and get the kids up to speed. They're going to try and get them into meaningful roles. Nichushkin's not going to last on that second line, so they need somebody to. Is that going to be JT Compher? Is it going to be Sampo Ranta? Is it going to be Alex Newhook? Is it going to be Tyson Jost? Is Val Nichushkin going to go there and then get taken off and then go back there because they have no solution? Is it going to be Phil Kessel when they trade for him at the trade deadline?
All right, like, calm it down.
Like, that's right now, that's like the biggest, it's just a giant question mark in the middle of their roster. And not having a solidified answer to that question is just, it's going to dog them until they find one.
It is. So part of this that is interesting to me specifically is somehow, some way, every year, the Avs find ways to have stupid center depth. And look, obviously having McKinnon at the top of that list helps a ton.
Sure.
They still have Nazem Kadri as 2C. But the way they have organized their lineup, as it seems now, Alex Newhook as 3C. JT Compher is 4C. You have Tyson Jost that can slot in at C whenever the Avs feel like doing it. And now their 13th forward with the Eagles, Mikhail Maltsev, is someone they want to see at C. So they're six centers deep.
Played all preseason at center.
They're six centers deep, and they haven't played a hockey game that matters yet.
Are any of them any good? McKinnon's pretty good. Kadri's pretty good. Question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yes, there are a lot of question marks there, but is that what is part of the selling point on Sampo Ranta to you? Is that, I know this is weird to say on an NHL lineup, but that he's not a C? He's a pure winger?
Oh, absolutely. I think it takes somebody exactly like him, and when you've got so much depth at C, you need someone who can slot in and just play wing.
Okay.
Keep it simple. Stick to the system.
I keep it simple is exactly right, I think, with Ranta. And there's no... Look, I don't think there are any misconceptions from Jared Bednar about what he's going to ask Sampo Ranta to do.
Skating straight lines.
Exactly. It's go fast this way, go fast that way. Don't take four penalties.
Stop chasing the puck in the defensive zone.
I don't know if you're ever going to stop him from doing that, but...
I mean, Alex Newhook stopped when he got to college. He's got to get it coached out of you.
True. Look.
I don't know how 3 years in Minnesota didn't get it coached out of him, but he still just chases it around. He looks like a day one Rocket League player. Just chasing.
That
just see ball, chase ball, see puck, chase puck.
That hurts me somewhere deep inside. All right. You broke a part of me with that question.
That's what you get for saying you don't like ribs.
Okay. All right. We need to drop this fight. We're going to have a brawl after this show.
That's never going to end, Rudo. You got a horrible take, and we will take you to the grave on this.
He doesn't like ribs.
How are y'all just letting this dude get off of his ska sucks take, all right?
Pretty easy. Yeah, ska sucks, easy, man.
It's not international love ska. Like, everybody loves ribs except for weirdos.
Yeah, you know who likes ska? Suburban white kids who grew up in the late 90s and early 2000s. End of list.
You've just selected 80% of our fan base.
Well.
And they're all weirdos, man. It's proven.
I'm good being the wrong about this. I don't know how you feel about ska, but I think it sucks.
What is your take on ska? Do you know ska at all?
No.
What is Perfect. Your music taste?
Not ska. It's pretty broad. Hip-hop.
All right. Like modern, old school?
Both.
Okay. All right. So a little bit of everything.
Yes.
What? Avs win a hockey game. What's your they just took down the W jam? Song?
It's got to be Timber by Kesha.
Okay. I can get down with some Kesha. I can live with that dream.
Kesha, Rudo dances to Kesha in his jorts.
Absolutely. Absolutely will shake the jorts to Kesha.
Why would you put that in my brain, man? Come on, dude.
While AJ claps in the background.
I thought we were pros. It's just an assault upon my sensibilities.
All right. Okay.
Yuck, you're not on Team AJ. Got it.
I love AJ, but I'm not Team Ferrari, so.
It's easy to not be Team Ferrari. All right, we're just gonna move on from that.
You're just Team Checo.
All right, it's
who?
Easy.
By the way, that was he did an awesome job on Lewis Hamilton the other day.
He held him up good.
That four corner defense was insanity. It was so impressive.
Us Mexicans have to stick together, and we're really good at defending shit. So,
no comment. All right. No comment. All right. I do want to look at the defense a little bit. The forward core is set. There is a high inclination of who the 6D is going to be, but the Avs are not carrying 20 skaters. They do have both Jack Johnson and Curtis McDermott. First of all, what do you both think of Justin Barron getting the cut, the final cut?
How do you feel?
I'm at peace with it, but I really like what I've seen from Justin Barron, and I think he's just not quite NHL ready, but he's so close. I think it's another issue of physicality with him, just being so close to being ready, but not there yet. I am surprised, though, in place of either Jack Johnson or McDermott, Justin Barron got sent back down.
It's tough with McDermott, right?
That one's tough for me.
McDermott, look, without having this conversation again on this podcast, the Colorado Avalanche gave up a fourth-round pick for Curtis McDermott. Obviously, someone in their front office sees something worth having with him. So despite my disagreement...
This is the 13th forward.
They haven't played him at forward once.
Just saying.
They haven't played him at forward once.
Rather them do that than play him on defense.
I hear you, but whatever qualms we may have, the Avs front office clearly sees him as a defenseman, and he sits wherever he sits on the lineup, and that's not getting sent to the Eagles.
Yeah, they clearly see him as an NHL player, which just tells you that they've got a blind spot.
Yep.
They just keep pushing it. Sure, he's a perfectly lovable human being, but yeah, oh my God.
Great. Look, everyone's a great dude unless I hear otherwise. And McDermott will absolutely run a couple dudes over, but the hockey's rough. Hockey that he plays is rough.
The discourse surrounding McDermott has been he's exactly as advertised, but I fear he's worse. And he's slow, and he's clunky, and I've been racking my brain for hours to try and figure this one out. I think some of it might have to do with Chicago and St. Louis being the first two games. He serves as a sacrificial body to sort of pad some of, like, with Kale McCarr, I don't know what the nature of his injury or just being a little bruised up was, but maybe to add an actual body as sacrifice.
So we're talking
to withstand Chicago like, and St. Louis.
The Avs hired an enforcer specifically like Edmonton did for Gretzky back in the day.
Yeah, McSorley. I mean, Marty McSorley played on that dude's line, so.
Marty McSorley played on that dude's line to specifically walk up to dudes and say, don't effing touch Wayne Gretzky.
You don't talk to Mr. Gretzky.
Yeah. So there's that conversation.
Do you remember BattleBots?
Oh, do I remember BattleBots, okay. Bro?
I don't know if you're familiar.
Was this the bots people would create with weapons on top of
them?
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. The robot fights that they used to have. Yes. That's. Do you remember? And every episode of BattleBots, there would always be the one dude that showed up with the. It just didn't work right, and like they would start and nothing happened.
Didn't function, and their bot short circuited and got yeeted. Yeah,
it was super janky and it didn't work right. That's what Curtis McDermott is on this defense. He is the dysfunctional BattleBot. That should get yeeted. I don't know of a more eloquent way to say that, but
very much the battle bot that some dude was like, I'd be so cool to stick a sledgehammer on top of this, and then
the sledgehammer keeps the battle bot from being able to move properly because it was too heavy and the weight distribution was all off, and so the thing just got smoked.
Yep,
because it couldn't move and it couldn't do anything else, but it had a sledgehammer.
The standard bot with just like a flipper on the front of it just rolls up and sends it. Like.
Yeah, that's all it is, man. That he is the dysfunctional battle bot. That's really what it is. You're talking about him being slow and clunky, and I'm like, yep, he's the dysfunctional battle bot.
Okay,
that's how I feel about it.
So we have the dysfunctional battle bot. Is Jack Johnson the battle bot that's built out of old parts that someone pulled out of the dumpster?
No, he is. he is. I don't have a. I don't have any more BattleBot references to go to.
Moving on.
But like Jack.
Let's start here. We have not officially announced it on the show. It's been true for a couple days. Jack Johnson does officially have a contract with the Colorado Avalanche for 1 year at $750K. Again, not a guy you signed to send to the AHL.
Happy for him that he will have more than $3.
That's a great tweet.
Yeah.
Great comment. Go find. I don't even know who sent it, but Jack Johnson's tweet about his kids. Hilarious. But I'll ask this to both of you again. What is Jack Johnson's role on this team long term? Right now, obviously Devontae's is out, but
long term as in this season?
Just the season.
This, yes.
Okay.
For the length of this current contract.
Just make it, because you say long term and I just want clarification.
Not Landeskog long term.
He won't be in the league by then.
I hope not.
Wow. Take that, Jack Johnson.
Look, no, get your money, Jack, but if you're playing in the league at 38, 39, and you're not broken down, let me know your workout routine, my guy, because that's a hard life.
You wouldn't follow it.
Obviously. That's why I'm sitting on the couch and he's playing for the Colorado Avalanche, my guy. That's what I'm saying.
Why do you want to know his workout routine? You lie.
Maybe there's a secret that's easy that keeps you in shape. That's all I'm looking for.
It's ribs.
It better not be ribs. All right.
That would be, oh God, that'd be tremendous. Look, this is his role, what he is right now. Devontae is hurt. So he's first man up off of the bench. And the thing that gives me some modicum of optimism is that we've never really seen Jack Johnson in a true depth role before. He has always played 22 minutes a night. He's always been a really limited guy. And then last year when he was in the Rangers, they started to give him
too much time.
Well, they started him out as a depth type of guy. And where did his numbers go? They were fine.
Until they moved him up the lineup.
They were league average-ish defender. Like, it was a passable
defender.
He's
a dude you get away with on a third pair.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, as long as they understand that and they are committed to that, and they don't fall into this temptation that every other head coach he's had in his whole life has had to just make him into a top four guy and just watch him get crushed every night. As long as they avoid that temptation and they understand this is a third pairing guy who will play a third pairing role. He will not play on the power play. He will play on one of the two penalty kill units, probably next to Eric Johnson. And they will get some, they won't have to play Devontaeves there when Taves gets healthy. And if he still stays in the lineup, depending on how things go, like he can genuinely help them, but it has to be understood that it is a limited role. And we have one thing about Jared Bednar in previous years. We have seen he's not shy to just play a guy 9 minutes because if that's where he thinks that's what he can get out of that guy and that guy be helpful, he'll stop.
Yeah. Megan, first of all, do you listen to Jack Johnson's music?
Banana Pancakes, yes.
Okay. I think that's the first person I've asked that has actually said yes to that question.
Do I listen with regularity? No.
Well, does anyone listen to Jack Johnson with regularity?
I was in an elevator once and I heard it.
There you go. Exactly right. More importantly,
it truly is that kind of music.
What are your thoughts on what Jack Johnson can do to help the Avalanche?
I think I share AJ's sentiment that as long as you acknowledge that he is what he is, he can serve as a very solid third pairing defenseman. I also think Big Brain Joe Sakic knows a lot more than I do, and he has a way of bringing players in and breathing that Colorado air and revitalizing aging or stagnant players who are coming from a stagnant place in their career and giving them opportunity. I think we saw this with Valeri Nichushkin and the role that he took on from Dallas now on to here, the season that he had. There's something that happens at altitude that I think could really benefit Jack Johnson, and I hope it does.
All right. I
just hit people, block some shots,
keep it simple.
Pass the puck to your D partner and just stay out of the way.
So,
and just be easy, homie. Don't.
So let's
don't get complicated.
I mean, let's go there. You say pass the puck to his D partner. Who do you put with Jack Johnson?
Murray.
All right, Ryan Murray. Now, Murray is an interesting one, right? Because AJ, you've talked about how he hasn't really had the opportunity to be the offensive guy in previous teams in his career.
Sure,
but especially in a bottom pairing role, how much upside do you think is there?
Enough.
That's not high praise, but that's good enough.
No, I mean, I think if you have Ryan Murray and Jack Johnson as your third pairing, you're not Tampa Bay of last year.
Sure.
But you know who else is not Tampa Bay of last year?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. So there isn't, you know, your third pairing needs to be able to take on bottom six lines on the opposing team.
Sure.
And if they get caught in a change, you know, you're on the road and you get matched up, you need to be able to survive against the top line. What kind of confidence do I have that Ryan Murray and Jack Johnson do that? I have more confidence in that pairing than I do with anything that involved Patrick Nemeth. And okay. I think Patrick Nemeth is better than Jack Johnson. I just think that Ryan Murray is fine.
Finds a way to keep that that pairing afloat a little bit.
I'm just not overly concerned about Ryan Murray. He's been asked to be the guy, kind of like Jack Johnson, for so much of his career. He's been put in big roles consistently that I think him getting to be in a depth role where they can maximize some of his talent, I think it'll be just fine. I'm really just not that concerned with, truthfully, any alignment. Now, if they put Jack Johnson with Cale Makar, it's going to be like, why are you doing this? But ultimately, there isn't one single alignment of these six guys in particular, while Taves is out, that I look at and say,
absolutely hate.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like last year, there was the Graves-Nemeth pairing at the end of the season, where when they put them out together, you were just like,
hold on to your butts.
My God, I'm going to white knuckle the next 90 seconds. And, you know, you just worried about it. Because they were just such a bad fit. This six right here, I'm not worried about that much. And when Devon Taves gets healthy, and if Jack Johnson is the one that leaves the lineup, girl, please.
Feeling good.
It's the best defense by a country mile in the NHL in that top six.
Talk dirty to me.
Yeah, but because, I mean, you have Devon Taves and, I mean, Gerard and Makar look like they're going to start together. And then you'll have Taves and EJ, and then Byram and Murray.
Well, now
see you soon, Tampa, because it's happening.
That's a conversation I wanted to get into, because wherever Byram ends up when the Avs are fully healthy, what's the game plan opening night? Send it? Byram top pairing or second pairing next to Daddy EJ?
Second pairing.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
He needs EJ.
Play it a little safe. Presence.
Yeah. I think
wonderful,
that
but.
Two guys who haven't played in a long time, haven't been in game action in a long time. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Put it together.
Yeah.
Let it work.
Yeah.
All right. No.
We know how they roll anyway. They'll break them up and they'll play them situationally.
Whatever position they're in. Yeah. It'll be whatever they're feeling like.
Yeah.
To send. I am interested to see what situations Jared Bednar aggressively uses Bo and Byram in.
Offensive ones?
You think so?
Yeah, well, with no Taves, I think it makes it easier, especially if you break up Gerard and Makar, that he plays the rights that Byram can play left side against with Makar, or he can play on the right side next to Gerard. Play on the left side next to Gerard. We've seen Sammy G be very good on the right side. So, and I think that there will be opportunities, you know, if you come right off of a power play that didn't score, but you have an offensive zone faceoff, bam, you throw Byram out there. You know, if the top unit got the entire power play, so Makar needs to sit, then you throw Byram out there with Gerard.
Okay. Run a little 2D spot there.
Yeah. Because you like that puck moving that upside a little bit more than what you're expecting out of Eric Johnson.
Okay. You've kind of brought me to our next topic, and I want to get Megan your opinion on this, because To put it lightly, the Avs power play systems are quite contentious in the Avalanche community. How do you feel particularly about the power play that the Avs run?
Through what, like, what window is it, this just going into this season, what I expect?
Sure. Whatever you, however you want to take the question.
Okay, okay. I liked what I saw special teams in preseason. JT Compher on the power play inspired hope. Sam Girard on the power play inspired hope. I'm at peace with it.
Okay. Can you sell me as JT Compher as the first power play bumper?
This is a really tough sell for me. I'm going off of just what I saw in preseason, and it worked.
Okay.
It worked for me, and I saw this as an opportunity for a guy who is due to have a much better year than last to carve
Depends
out
on his blockages,
a role.
Right?
Right. It's those very obstacles that I think he could step up on the power play and grow a little confidence in his identity there and overcome those obstacles.
AJ, are you a believer in Confer on PP1? Or are you a doomer?
I think it's fine. Okay. I don't think that there is a... I don't think there's a right fit.
Sure. I mean, we've talked about the Avs' obsession with a right shot there.
Right, and that's the thing, is that they want a right shot there. So right now, your options are Logan O'Connor or JT Compher.
Yeah.
JT Compher's the easy choice.
You're
there.
Not, I think it's hard to put Logan O'Connor on a power play.
Yeah,
for sure.
We saw it in the first preseason game, and it was like,
this is not great.
So this is why this doesn't work. I ultimately I'm fine with it. I mean, that unit was aces in the postseason last year. And if you want to be mad about the Vegas series, one of the things you should be mad about is that officiating
didn't give the Avs opportunity.
Favored the Golden Knights after game two so thoroughly that Colorado's power play was humming along. It destroyed Vegas in that series.
Yep.
That was the best PK in the league, and the Avs power play destroyed them to the point where Vegas was so whiny about the officiating that they just stopped calling all delay of game penalties. And even in game six, when Colorado did get opportunity, they scored. Like, they were just rolling. That unit was just rolling with so much confidence last year. And I think we're going to see a special year from the top line, which means a good year from the power play. Is it going to be 30%? Is it going to be insane?
Who knows?
I don't know. But if they get top 10 performances from both of those units, then you're an incredibly difficult team to beat once again.
Yep. I think there's no doubt about that, but I do think that the second power play unit is interesting. Let's assume Confer's on PP1. All right. To start the season, obviously Sam Girard is going to be the defenseman on that unit. Obviously, you're going to have Nazem Kadri and Andrei Burakovsky rounding out that unit as your second line players. That leaves two spots for at least one forward, potentially two, potentially a second defenseman.
It's going to be Nichushkin for puck retrieval.
It's very, very likely going to be Nichushkin, but that last spot. Could we see Bowen Byram? We've seen the Avs try Sampo Ranta in that spot. Certainly AJ and I would love to see Alex Newhook in that spot. Megan, how do you feel about that last spot on the second
power play? She nodded about Byram. I nodded about Newhook. Byram, state your case.
Byram sprung to mind first.
Okay.
However, I'm excited by the opportunity that could be for Newhook. I think that's actually a role he would thrive in. Not that Byram wouldn't. I just think that would help with his confidence.
So sell me how it works with Byram.
I think he is just, he has an offensive prowess and a tenacity that would benefit him in that situation. And it just leaves a pretty strong guy to play point to if necessary, if something were to come up. but, yeah, I think that would be why.
Okay. And are you are you expecting Byram to produce on this power play as a facilitator or as a goal scorer?
Facilitator.
Okay.
Playmaker.
All right. So definitely a different look than Newhook then, I would say. You're probably asking Newhook to be, yes, of course you want him to facilitate to Burakovsky some, but the Newhook play that we always talk about where he walks in and shoots the puck from the top of the left circle. Is that just the one big selling point for you, AJ, on Newhook?
Yeah.
Simple as that?
Watched him at every other level, just including the AHL.
Do that?
Yeah, just do that over and over and over and over. And
okay.
Just do that.
Just do it.
Let the guy be who he's been.
Is there...
Let him eat at the table he's eaten his whole career at, you know?
Is there some opportunity with power play to kind of unleash Bowen Byram in a way you didn't see last year at the NHL level? Is there some room to let him get back to the player he was in juniors where you put the puck on his stick and you just tell him to go?
Maybe. I think it's tough because Girard is such an established and quality quarterback where he just runs a really smooth power play. Byram is taking a back seat.
I mean, yes and there. No. The thing I would say, if you have Girard running up high, Byram has never been afraid to go deep in the offensive zone, to pinch when there's an opportunistic moment.
Sure, but who has a better shot, Byram or Newhook?
I mean, Newhook, obviously.
And then this is where I am.
Okay.
If you're putting the puck on either one of their stick and they're 10 feet from the net, regardless of anything else, any other situation.
You're taking Newhook every time. Okay.
And that's what it comes down to now, where I think there's a real conversation is Newhook or Ranta as that other guy. You have Nichushkin out there just for puck retrieval. You have Kadri out there to screening, tipping, and rebound purposes. So I don't know that Ranta makes as much sense on that alignment. Now, we saw it. So obviously the coaching staff wanted to see that.
Sure.
So they may just disagree with me, but I would prefer Newhook over Ranta in that spot.
My problem with Ranta is you touched on Nichushkin. You touched on Kadri as two roles that he can fill. But you go even one step further with Burakovsky.
Yeah, the big one-timer, just him shooting at all.
Everything that Ranta does effectively feels like it's covered by those three guys.
Yeah, exactly.
And certainly Kadri and Burakovsky are not coming off that unit, full stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless they're moving up to unit one, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's really hard for me to
If one of them moves up to unit one, Confer probably takes their place on unit two.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Exactly.
And there's not really room there.
I guess if you're putting Ranta or a Ranta-type player in there, you are relying almost entirely on Sam Girard to be the puck mover there.
Okay. So what's the problem?
That's what I'm asking. Is
what the problem is.
Can Sam Girard carry that load by himself?
Yep.
Should you agree? I mean, Ranta just doesn't make sense for that role to me. Because of the pressure that might needlessly put on Girard.
Sure. And
so I guess my follow-up is if we can't find a reason for Sampo Ranta on the power play.
What's he doing here?
Why is he in the lineup? Mikhail Maltsev can help you on the PK and also not play on the power play.
I'm hurt about Maltsev, to be honest.
I don't get it.
I saw that happening more than Ranta. I'm excited about both.
Yeah.
As mentioned earlier, but I thought it would be Maltsev.
I mean, new shinies are always fun. They're shiny.
Yeah, just love and light.
Right. Like, you're always excited to see what a rookie can do with opportunity. And especially one who's put up, you know, second in the NCAA in goal scoring last year. You want to know what's up. Like, there's no trying to find out what Sabo Ranta has to give. Like, it's totally justifiable.
Yes.
It's just with Newhook also there.
And lots of an option. And why?
It's just trying to. It's interesting to me that they prioritized Ranta over what they got out of Maltsev, which, like, Ranta's ceiling is much, much higher.
Of course.
But Maltsev is a role player who was playing the role at a high level in the preseason.
In preseason, yes.
And Sampo Ranta had one good preseason game, and the rest of it kind of just disaster.
Very chaotic.
The question you're digging at here, I think, is how does Sampo Ranta fit in this lineup?
Well, how do you... It's mostly, as a coaching staff, it's your job to put players in positions to be successful.
Sure.
And how are they putting Sampo Ranta if you're better off served with other guys on the second power play unit? He's not on the first power play unit, and you're... God, no, you're not putting him on a PK. Then you're getting only even strength minutes out of him. How are you putting him in a position to be successful? And is that position more helpful to them winning overall than, say, what Maltsev might have brought? That's the juggling act that they do that I'm questioning.
Hold on. Let's examine it this way. What are the forwards you would put on the penalty kill with this lineup? Obviously, Val Nichushkin. Obviously, Tyson Jost.
Obviously, Helm. Obviously, Logan O'Connor.
Obviously, O'Connor.
Yeah.
So... That's two pairings right there.
We know that they will put JT Compher out there.
Whether they like it or not.
Yeah.
There's a universe where they throw Landeskog out there.
See, but with Maltsev, like, the thing with Maltsev, the big difference there is that he was winning faceoffs in the preseason. Is that he was, and that remains to be a question. Jost and JT Compher have both shown to get their ass kicked in the dot.
This is a question I very much want to ask you, Megan. How important are faceoffs?
This is an important question.
Depends on, I think, at what point in the game they're taking the faceoff.
Okay.
So opening faceoff of the second period. Important or not?
Simply put, you win faceoffs, you win games. So I want to put some importance in there. Because it comes down to puck possession and priming your team to be in possession of the puck more than the other team.
Okay. So how do you compare a neutral zone faceoff with 13 minutes left in the first period to a defensive penalty kill faceoff with 10 minutes to go in the game?
Or any... defensive penalty kill faceoff.
Sure.
Very important. More important than neutral zone faceoff.
Sure.
13 minutes in the period.
And so I guess my question is, how willing are you to attempt things like we've seen the Avs throw out Nazem Kadri on a penalty kill strictly to take a faceoff?
Yeah.
Is that a risk you're willing to take? Kadri is a 56% faceoff guy on his best day.
Yeah.
More likely to win it than not, but 44% of the time he's still going to lose it. Is that a risk worth taking?
Yes.
Because if you win it, you clear it, and then he gets off the ice and you get a PK guy.
He could just change and
bring
on someone
else. If you lose it, he's stuck out there and he's not one of your PKers.
No, it's not worth the risk.
It's yes or no? Hang on.
It is worth it to put Kadri out to take the face off because I think that the dividends are better.
Okay, so it's worth to put Kadri out there.
Yes.
For the face off winning acumen.
Definitely.
Okay, so.
So if you're doing that, then you don't need Mikhail Maltsev.
Because Kadri will take the face off.
Yep,
I see. Yep.
Instead
quick
of
line change,
taking
not
the face
Kadri.
Off and having the penalty killing ability.
This is where it takes a village.
Yep.
Every decision affects everyone in some way.
It's cascading, to say the least.
So that's the prioritization that the coaching staff has to do, which is what we thought, what I thought interesting about the decisions that they made. Also, that we've been drilling them for years for preferring veterans over prospects, and they are opening up with three rookies in their
lineup.
Let the
kids play.
And here we are arguing for Maltsev's face-offs.
I mean,
potentially.
Mostly just making the point
yes.
that I was surprised they picked Sampo, if it had Sampo Ranta played well in the preseason, it would be an easier sell. I thought he played like garbage. And then you throw the four penalty games.
I don't think
in there.
Sampo's game was as bad.
No, I thought his game,
barring the last preseason game, which that, was
when,
awful.
When he wasn't taking penalties, I thought he was also awful
in the last game.
They put him on the power play, and he's just like pucks are bouncing over us. And you're like, okay, like this is like an all time bad night for the guy.
Definitely.
You know, every other time you've ever seen him, he's been better than this. But this also happened while he was fighting for a job.
In crunch time?
We talked to the tarot cards. We're talking about opportunity and, you know, does he attack it with confidence or fear? Is it confidence or fear? It sure as hell was fear in game six of the preseason.
Yeah.
Now, it's not very hard. Maltsev and Ranta are both waivers exempt. So it's not very hard.
You just want. Swippy swappy.
You go one game against Chicago and you're like, well, that didn't work out well. You could always just, okay, fine.
Yeah, flexibility there to say the least.
I was surprised at the decision, and that's why. And there, for me, I just think that it's they're so unfair of me because
here
I've spent
here
years,
we go.
Well, I've spent years being mad that they ride and die with proven baddies like Jason Megna.
Yeah,
you know, and now I'm a little frustrated when they take the leap of faith on a kid. But it's just not the kid that I want. So this is a me problem,
here's,
really.
Is the take you want Martin Kaut and or Shane Bowers?
No, it's Maltsev. Because he outplayed them. And so Maltsev, I thought, was the guy that like earned the job.
Sure.
With his play, I felt like Maltsev was the one who separated from that group. Ranta and Newhook included. I thought Maltsev was better than both. And was surprised when we got the email this morning and Maltsev was the guy that they sent down. I was surprised by it. Justin Barron, not surprised in the slightest.
Yeah.
I have said all along, Justin Barron, it didn't make sense for Justin Barron to make the team, but this also had very first training camp for Connor Timmins vibe, where the coaching staff just wanted to get an extended look at him because they may not see him the rest of the year, so they wanted to work with him in practice as much as they could. They wanted to see how he responded to the coaching. They wanted to get to know him a little bit better because they see a big future for him. And that ended up being the right call, but it gave me quite the scare there when I kept telling people he wasn't going to make the team. People were tweeting me all weekend, is Barron going to make the team? And I was just like, I don't think so, but I don't really know. He ends up not, but he could be back any day.
Yep.
I think there's a long way to go for Barron, but I also don't think that the extended look hurt at all.
Would you say because Ranta is waiver exempt, this could still be a prolonged look at what he can do with full knowing that Maltsev is coming back up and Ranta's going down?
Sure.
I think it might not even be a prolonged look. I think we may legitimately be
games.
Talking about a couple games.
I think
it's
Chicago
exactly.
and St. Louis.
I wonder, just because the Eagles are on the road the 15th and they play St. Louis on the 16th, I wonder if it's two.
Yeah.
But the Avs also have, I think, two or three days off after the Blues game.
Yeah, they have like,
so it's like
7 days off in the first 2 weeks of their schedule.
Yeah,
it's
they have two
weird.
Days. They have Sunday. I think they have Sunday and Monday for 3 weeks in a row. They should have rated on those days.
Should
have. I like, we're talking about the opening night roster. It's always a story every year.
Of course.
But it's always also a temporary story. Remember, Connor Timmins did make the team once upon a time.
Played two games and
two
never
games
talked
and
about him again.
Never saw him the rest of the year.
Yep.
Just gone. So, you know, this could be the same kind of thing. Sampo Ranta could make it. He could play the first two games and then gets yeeted, and that's the end of that. That's just the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
He gets battle bot. He bad battle botted.
Bad battle bot.
Bad battle botted. Oh, can we please make that a consistent thing? Okay, so let's final thoughts here from both of you. Anything you want to say about the Avs opening lineup, what your expectations are, fire away.
Don't play JoJo.
When we're here, it has to be played.
Sorry.
That's the rules.
No.
Megan? Thinking hard.
It's more McDermott slander. It really doesn't belong here. Well, I think we beat that to death.
Put another one on the same team here. Count it. AJ?
What's up?
Final thought. That isn't Georgia.
I think it's a surprising opening night roster. I think there's a lot of doom and gloom coming from Avs fans because of depth questions.
People are weird about Jack Johnson.
Folks might want to remember that Colorado's best players are better than almost all the other teams' best players. And when you put them all onto the ice together, there's like a combination of like 15 or 16 of them.
That are insane.
That are absolutely better than all these other teams.
Yep.
So just keep in mind that they've got some dope dudes who do dope shit, and they're going to win 50 games pretty easily.
If you want more info on dope dudes that do dope shit, be sure to check out our preseason previews. Today, the defenseman one just came out, which is an entire podcast by itself.
Yep. It is a 52-minute episode of us getting in-depth into all of them.
So you can check that out as well. All of our other ones, I know the last 24 hours leading up to opening night, you just need something to pass the time. Sometimes we got you covered on that with all of those. Be sure to check them out. Tomorrow, opening night. First of all, if you're not going to the game, come to the bar. Come watch the game.
True.
If you're not true. Colorado, if you're not local, I will be doing a watch along the entire game long up here in the upstairs of the bar. So
Evan
tune into that.
Evan will be here, as will Blaze.
Evan and Blaze will be vibing as well. So it should be a blast of a watch along. Please tune in here on YouTube, this very channel. We will have a ton of fun. You'll see me laugh. You'll see me cry. You'll see the whole gamut, probably.
You shouldn't do either one. I mean, you can laugh.
I'll definitely laugh.
There should be no crying on opening night.
All right. Well, as long as you don't feed me ribs.
I'll force feed you some ribs.
And then I'll cry. Either way, bunch of awesome stuff planned. Be on the lookout for all of our stuff. We have so much cool stuff coming over the next week. That's all I'm going to say. If you know, you know. All right.
True.
So thank you to Megan for coming on. We really appreciate you. Anything you want to shout out, where people can find you, whatever you want?
I'm a Twitter user, right by Wah.
Let's go. Go give her a follow. We'll be back tomorrow post game, I suppose.
Yeah, you guys will be.
At least Evan, Blaze, and I.
Yeah, I will be back. Part of that post.
AJ's got to do a real job and be at Ball Arena. Horror.
I will not be on that post game.
Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate it all so very much. We will be on again 5 days a week. We'll be live Saturday with a post game too. So you know where to find us. Till the next one, we'll talk to y'all later.